The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. May be seated. Just about everyone, I would venture to guess, has had this shared experience in life that's altering. You go to the dryer to pull out your white clothes, and you're expecting to pull out pure white garments, And then you notice it. One red shirt, one red sock, or whatever it may be, and now everything that once was white is pink, or at least a shade of red. But today you hear those words, and you see what those saints are who are standing before the throne of God. Their robes have been made white, but by the blood of the Lamb. Sin stains, but the blood of the Lamb cleanses. So being a saint is different. It's set apart. Jesus has washed you and made you clean. And you wear the baptismal garment which covers you with Christ and his righteousness. You are a saint. You're a saint now, and you are a saint forever. Now listen again to those words of the first reading from the Revelation to St. John. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." You know, that's quite a vision that we hear before us, and it's a wonderful vision. Here are the saints, the holy ones who have been redeemed by Christ. They've been cleansed by his blood, and they now stand in victory. They're waving palm branches, a sign of victory. They're standing in life. But like St. John in the reading, we ask, who are these people? And today, hearing this word, Jesus says to you, as you hear, who are these people? He answers you with, this is you, now and not yet. And that's the thing. The thing about being a saint is you are one now and not yet. It's having this picture from the first reading and all that is the victory, all that is the peace, all that is the joy that it entails. And then at the same time, as you hear this reading, you look around and you see you're still in this world and not yet before the throne of the Lamb. The epistle reading speaks to this when you hear, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." And so as a Christian, God has called you his own, not because you have made some decision, not because you have earned it. No, God is the one who has made you his child. He is the one who has shown his love towards you in Christ. He is the one who delivers Jesus and his salvation to you through the word of God and his sacraments. This is what God has done for you in Christ, who has accomplished your salvation, and what he has promised is yours now, distributed and given out this very instant. You are God's child. You are his saint. You are his saint now, and God has called you his own. So what does this mean then? Well, being a saint now means that your sin is forgiven. Saint is the word for holy one. And the word holy in the Bible has a meaning of being set apart or different. Now, as a Christian, you live in this world as one who is different than what you see and experience around you. It doesn't mean you're funny looking or any number of things like that, although some of us, that includes us. But the world thinks differently than you as a Christian. You're different. The world operates differently. Its culture, its language are different than yours, because its God is different too. And because the world doesn't know Christ, it can't on its own, and because you are a child of God through faith in Christ, it's not going to know you. Christianity is not just a foreign concept, but more and more seen as a hostile force. So you and the fallen world around you are different. You've been called and set apart. But here's the thing. You ever notice how quick we are to forget who we are? When we do look around us and we see that we are still in this world and all that it entails, what do you think? Are you enticed to fit in? Are you caught up in whatever you think the world expects of you and your family? And what do you see when you look around? Where's your focus? We kid ourselves and think that we can be more than just in the world. We think we can take things and use them in a way that we can still be known and liked by the world and still be faithful to God. We think we can be the ones who define what it means to be a saint who isn't really different, who isn't set apart with a different heart and a different mind. But where does this come from? Well, our sinful flesh defines it according to where we don't listen to the word of God, where we're tossed to and fro by whatever is the current trend of the day or a life where we can remain in our sin and still think we can call ourselves saints. But that's not what God says. The life of a saint in this world is a different life. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't participate in this world or just shut yourself off like some Amish group. No, what it means is to be a saint is a life that hears the word of God and keeps it. It seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a life that follows in the way of Jesus, and the way of Jesus is a life of bearing the cross and suffering. It's a life of dying to sin, rising again to new life, and suffering for the sake of him who called you to be his own. Because when you notice something about the saints in Revelation, they're coming out of the great tribulation. Notice it doesn't say these are the ones who are coming out of their best life now in this world. They aren't staying in this fallen world, but coming out of it. So loving and following the fallen world, the devil, and our own fallen flesh is not who a saint is. If our lives look more like what we see around us and not what God teaches us in his word, if there's a disconnect, then we need to examine our lives because what God says is not the problem. And you know, living as a saint is both harder and easier than it used to be. It's harder in a sense because more and more you're going to be in the minority as a saint of God who hears the word of God and actually believes what God says is true and lives it. Being faithful to God's word and not buying into what the world knows and its wisdom will cost you a great deal of opportunities, friends, and relationships with family members. And our kids are going to see this probably even more than we do. But in some ways, this is easier now than it was a few decades ago, at least in terms of what God teaches. Division has a way of letting the truth shine forth and be easier to see. The lines are no longer blurred. As a Christian now, you have God's word, which is clear and doesn't change and never will. God's law is eternal, and in so much of what is around us, it becomes easier to separate truth from error. When you see the absolute ridiculousness of what the world tries to live by and preach, what the world tries to call good, but God's word is the lamp that shines in the darkness and all of that. And so, dear saints, be who God has called you to be. Be faithful to his word. Know that the Lord will not forsake you. He will strengthen you. He will keep you safe, even if you go through fire, because your glory is everlasting, and it's at the side of Jesus. And so you are a saint now and not yet. And this is precisely why you're gathered together on this day. So each time you gather here around the means of grace, you see the vision of heaven coming to earth. You aren't before the throne of the Lamb now, but the throne of the Lamb comes to you as you gather around word and sacraments. The divine service is your heaven on earth until the day when earth passes away. And the Lord raises you up and you are in this reading of Revelation that you see before you. Yet until that day, the Lord comes down to meet you as you hear his word and receive his supper. You join with angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven here in this very place. We say that every Sunday and we actually mean it. It's the great thing that we have this day as we hear these two choirs singing not to us, but not to us, but like the heavenly host before the Lamb of God. Our choir, us included in that, and the heavenly choir, we're joining together before the Lamb and his throne, singing to him. Our worship service confesses this. It transcends time and space literally each time we enter the divine service. And it's different than the world around us. And that's good. It's supposed to be. It reflects, too, the unchanging, holy, and reverent worship in heaven before the throne of God, because there is only one church. We're just on this side of the grave. We are the saints gathered here and now and look forward to that future glory that is not yet here. But soon enough, the day will come. God promises you. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be a place with no more suffering, no more temptation, and the assaults of the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh will be gone. That's the day when the not yet is no longer, and the now as a saint becomes forever. And when you are raised from your grave, and you will be because Jesus has, you will be in a world that is forever holy, and in God's eternal presence, which will shepherd you and all the saints. So as you go through this world then, dear saints of God, you have the certainty of what God promises you, as he cannot lie. There's so much that you don't and can't know in terms of things in this life, your physical health, financial security, any number of things. But what you do know is most certainly true, because you are known by God. God has redeemed you in Christ. He is the one who has done it. He's the one who washes you clean in his blood, clothing you with his righteousness and all that is his eternal, all that is his perfect life, atoning death, and glorious resurrection. So as saints now, this is what you have. And so you repent of your sin and cling to him who has done this. You don't listen to the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh, which try to tear you away from Christ and his word, and to throw off that white garment the Lord has placed upon you in your baptism. You don't try to follow the gods of this world. Earlier in 1 John 2, God says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God, the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." So, dear saints of God, rejoice in being set apart, having been called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit through the Holy Gospel. Know that you are his child by his grace alone through faith in Christ alone. Know that even now he delivers this to you in his means appointed here in this place. And as we remember those who have gone before us from St. John's this past year, we give thanks for what they now see. It encourages us to see the confession of Christ and that in the Lord we are not apart, but we're still together as the saints of God. And you see, that's the thing here too, as what it means to be a saint. You view the world, you view death differently than the world. You view the death of a Christian in view of what your Lord shows you in readings like this one from Revelation. So as a Christian, you see the death of a Christian husband, wife, sister, brother, child, born or unborn, or whomever, one who has died, as one who has the victory and life of Jesus. And that's marvelous. And as you share in all this now, you look to the not yet. You're saints because of him who is the victorious Lamb who by his dying has destroyed death, who has raised you for your justification. Your sin has been atoned for by Jesus, and you have peace with God. So being a saint is one who has the victory, for the devil has been defeated, your sin is forgiven, and death has been overcome. And that's the forever now that you have. Its sting is gone, even though you may die now in the world. You will live forever. Know what you have now in Christ and what your future will be. You are a saint. So when your sin rears its ugly head, confess it and look to Christ crucified. When you're uncertain about what your life will be or how long, fix your eyes on the Lord who stood victorious outside an empty tomb where his body had been laid. When you mourn those who have gone before you and died in the faith, see the faithful cloud of witnesses which surrounds you in the church. And in all circumstances, hear your Lord's words and cling to his gifts, for this is where he is truly present for you and delivers all this forgiveness, life, and salvation. On this All Saints observance, rejoice in Jesus, who is the victorious Lamb who was slain. The victory has been won, and you are his children, his saints who have eternal life. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is what is said about you, dear saints of God. For blessed are you. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You, his saints, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.